Good morning. Welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Church of Fort Myers, where our mission is to love, grow, and serve. My name is Elise Sexton, and I am so happy to be your worship associate on this very special lay-led service. If you're new here today or still feel new to Unitarian Universalism, I would like to extend a special welcome and thank you for joining us today. I've been attending this church for about 5 years this year, and I am always thrilled at the opportunity to speak in front of the congregation. Everyone will find a connection card in the pew in front of them that looks like this. If you're new or just have a change in information, please fill this out and drop it in the offertory as it comes around. You'll also find in the pew in front of you a blue Caring Network card. The Caring Network is here if you or someone you know is in need of a little bit of love and support from our community. Lastly, I'd like to invite everyone to join us in Hobart Hall after service for coffee hour. Just go out these doors and to your right, and you'll see a big crowd of people going that way. If you're new and are going to be joining us for coffee hour, please use one of the yellow coffee mugs you'll find in there. One, it holds more coffee, so that's always good. And two, it'll let everyone else in there know that you're new so we can all give you a nice warm welcome. Our chalice lighter today is Jen Smith. Jen is a seeker, wanderer, and wanderer, journeying a road less traveled. Last January, she decided it was time to put down some roots here in Fort Myers after 20 years of wandering. Jen is a Chicago native and Purdue graduate, go Boilers, a construction engineer turned accountant turned shaman. Yeah, she doesn't know yet either. She is currently keeping busy serving on the board of UUCFM as treasurer, assisting several folks with their estate planning, and reluctantly starting to look for a real job. She came to UU in the usual way, an internet quiz, 100% compatible with Unitarian Universalism. After a near-death experience 11 years ago, she started looking for an explanation or meaning to her life. She hasn't found them yet, but it turns out that UU is exactly what she needed. From her original UU church home in Elgin, Illinois, to her new church home here at UUCFM, she has had the freedom to explore her beliefs and learn about others. Please rise in body or spirit as we sing the words of our covenant.
Love is the
standing for opening song number 346, Come Sing a Song with Me.
Thank you.
may be seated. Look to this day, for it is life, the very life of life. In its brief course lie all the verities and realities of your existence, the bliss of growth, the glory of action, the splendor of beauty. For yesterday is but a dream, and tomorrow is only a vision. But today, well lived, makes every yesterday a dream of happiness, and every tomorrow a vision of hope. Look well, therefore, to this day.
Good morning. Good morning. Do we have some children in the room? How about everybody that's little, and everybody that's young, and everybody that's young at heart? Come on up, because I have a mystery box. Hi there. You look like you want to open a mystery box. We got anybody else? Come on, my little buddy. This is my mystery friend. Come on up. Come on, don't be shy. It's story time. So, see everybody up here today? We're doing a really special service today. The service today, everybody's going to talk or think about, at least, what they really believe. There was a radio show called This I Believe, and even kids got on it and said what they believe. But I thought I would let two of you pull something out of the Wonder Box, and I'm going to talk about my grandma's. Wow, what's that in your hand? Ooh. What is that?
Looks like an angel a little bit.
She looks like an angel. And what do you have?
Shell.
A shell. And it has a shape in it, right? Okay, here, does anybody recognize this? Now, I grew up in the Catholic religion, and what did we call these cards? We called them prayer cards or holy cards. My grandmother Agnes, who was Irish, was a very devout Catholic. Do you know what devout means? Well, it means really seriously believing in something with a lot of love. And so I grew up Catholic, and I had to go to church every Sunday, and I asked my parents what they believe in, and they said they believed in this guy named Jesus. And I learned all about Jesus in Catholic school, and I loved him. And I asked my grandmother, there's got to be more. What do you believe in? So I went to my Catholic grandmother, Agnes, from Ireland, and she gave me lots of holy cards. And this particular one I pulled out of my Bible. And I didn't know whose name would be on the back, but it says here, in loving memory of Agnes Early Rowan. That's my grandmother. So of all the holy cards that I pulled out her holy card. And she told me that what she believed in, that was God and even Jesus, were so big for her to understand that she put all her attention on Mary. She was called Mother Mary. She was the Mary of Jesus. But she called her the Mother of God, and that really got me thinking. If God is really big and God has a mother, wow, who is she? So when I was your age, Lily, I was thinking about God as a mother. So I went to my other grandmother. Well, my other grandmother, her grandmother was a Cherokee Indian. Mm-hmm. And she was from Texas. And so show me what you have, Lily. It's a snail shell, right? It could have been an ocean. And it has a shape. What's that shape? A spiral. So here, hold this. My grandmother, Mary, told me that she was going to take me to church one day, and instead of taking me to the Catholic church where my mother told her to take me when I was visiting her, she took me out into the backyard. And she had a gazebo, and there was water all around, and we walked on the little pebbles to the little gazebo, and there were seashells there. And she said, look around you. And I looked around, and she said, this is the real church. She said, nature is my church. And she showed me a seashell like that. And it had a spiral shape in it. And she said, you can find all of your answers about what you believe in and what God is if you pay attention to nature. So I had two grandmothers telling me two very different things. I had a lot to think about. So I'm going to leave you with this before you go to your classes. Just a really quick this I believe from me. I collect these buttons because I'm a political person. Ooh. You like this one? What does that say?
Being with me.
Peace begins with me. And that is what I believe. So as you go to your classes today, and you can take that shell, and you can take this button, and I'll have a special gift for him. I need to keep my grandma's holy card, okay? And we have one more little word from Miss Elise.
Thank you, everyone. Please join in singing Go Now in Peace as we dismiss our children to their classes. At this time, I'd like everyone to relax. Move yourself into a nice, comfortable position. And as I know that there are so many different bodies in this beautiful congregation, I'm going to try the best I can to fit this meditation to everyone. Take a moment, make sure that you're warm enough and that you're seated comfortably. If you can and you're able, rest your arms, your hands, your legs in a comfortable position. You can close your eyes if you'd like, or just focus on a point in space and soften your gaze. Take a deep breath in and hold it for just a moment, and then slowly exhale. Just allow any tension in your head or neck to melt away as you gradually relax more. Take another breath, hold it, and then slowly exhale. Empty your lungs as completely as you can with your out breath. Take a third deep breath in. Take your time, hold it for a moment, and then let it go. Continue to breathe naturally and gently. Observe your breathing. Don't change it. Just simply observe it. Relax. Any thoughts that enter your mind, let them pass. Don't cling to anyone in particular. Imagine the feeling of relaxation. See it with your mind's eye as a cloud of color, a gentle wave of warm water, a soft light. Whatever comes to mind. Now bring your awareness to the top of your head. Imagine this feeling of relaxation beginning to spread down from the middle of your scalp. Let the muscles in your forehead and your temples relax. Allow your eyes to relax. Let your cheeks and jaw soften and let go of all that tension. Now imagine this peaceful feeling flowing down your neck and deep into the muscles in your shoulders, soothing them, releasing them. Breathe. Allow this peaceful feeling to flow through your arms, relaxing and soothing all the way to your fingertips. As your body relaxes, your mind relaxes. Your thoughts become weightless, like wisps of clouds on a breeze. Now the peaceful sensation flows through your chest and your stomach. Feel how this area gently rises and falls as you breathe, slowly and deeply, soothing and relaxing. Turn your attention to your back and imagine the sensation flowing all the way down your spine. Now this peaceful feeling flows through your lower body. Relax your hips, the back of your thighs, the front of your thighs. Feel all those large, strong muscles become loose and free. Feel the soothing feelings flow down through your knees and into your calves. Your ankles relax, your feet relax. Take one deep last breath and see the relaxation throughout your entire body. Allow your eyes to drift open and your awareness to return to this moment. Now is the time in our service when I'd like to call forward all the joys, the sorrows, and the milestones in our lives. I'd like to have us hold in our hearts Mary Tracy Sigmund's dear cousin, Susan Burke, who passed away, succumbing to cancer after a courageous battle. Her hard fight is over at last. Please remember her with your loving feelings, prayers, or pleasant thoughts. This will be of great comfort to Mary and her family. At this time, all are welcome to the front or to the sides to place their stone of intentions into the bowl. If you didn't grab a stone on the way in, there are some available in the jars next to the bowls. May this stone hold your joy or your sorrow, and may it bring you peace. May our prayers be heard and our hearts be restored. At this time, please remain sitting for song number 1008 in our teal hymnal, When Our Heart Is in a Holy Place. I believe that people have control of their lives. I believe that we choose the path we walk on, or at least we try, and that no higher power can truly make decisions for us. I believe that you're wasting your time if you sit around and wait for someone else to make hard decisions for you. I believe that people need to believe in themselves and that they need to have the courage to see what they want and do it. And I have no problem at all with people being religious, as I myself find deep value in religion. I believe that people should use religion as a pillar, that they should stand upon it and get support and reach for their goals, their aspirations, and for happiness. I don't believe in using religion to justify bad decisions. There's a common phrase used in association with the Bible: God helps those who help themselves. Buddhist religion also speaks of how we have a firm conviction of human potential. It says that we are creatures that must take responsibility for what we do, what we think, and what we say. So why, if this particular issue is addressed by religion, do we still encounter those who hide behind it and use their religion as a defense? Why do we have groups like ISIS who twist the words of the Quran and use it to justify inhumane killings? Why do we have killers like Robert Louis Deere Jr., the Colorado shooter, who claimed that God would save him no matter what he did? Why are we, if we claim to be such good, sensible people, still allowing criminals to pass the buck off on their beliefs? Why are we not treating them as rational beings? Why are we not holding them responsible for what they do? A philosopher named Immanuel Kant, who I have had the great joy of studying, speaks of something called human dignity. Now, I could go on for ages about human dignity, but I'll keep it short. Human dignity is what gives humans their value. We are born with it. We possess it. It's what makes us unbuyable. The interesting part comes in when Kant says that people have human dignity because we are rational beings, capable of making decisions, capable of being held responsible for our choices. He goes on to explain how we should respect human dignity. To recognize and respect someone's human dignity, you must treat them as an end and not a mean. That roughly translates to treating others as whole human beings and not just a thing you can use to achieve your goals, not just a stopping point on your way to something bigger. Kant says that when you treat someone as means to your goals, when you use them, you are seeing them as irrational beings, and you see them incapable of making their own decisions, and you violate their human dignity. There is an argument to be made that when people refuse to take responsibility for their actions, they lose value. Now, this anger in me, which I try not to speak out on too much, comes up from all the violence that has been going on right now in America, the shootings, the killings, which often we find the cause of is someone using religion to justify their choices. And to me, that is unacceptable. And on the one hand, the idea of someone losing their value because they don't take responsibility can be extreme. I mean, think of a little kid breaking a vase on accident and lying about it because they don't want to get in trouble. That doesn't make them less than other human beings. But you have to look back on my previous example of ISIS. The absolutely just ghastly murders, the beheadings, the terrorism that they do does make many people see them as less than human. Now, to me, that doesn't mean we can just go out and slaughter them all. That's not justification at all. I don't believe that any human being personally has the right or ability to take away the life of another. Part of that is because I'm a Unitarian Universalist, and we believe in the inherent worth and dignity of every person. I believe that no person is born inherently evil, and that each person should be given a chance to turn their life around. But what's going on right now needs to stop. There's an interesting quote I've heard. I believe it was Nelson Mandela, but I could be wrong. He says, "An eye for an eye leaves the whole world blind." The idea of fighting the violence with violence, of one religion clashing against another in this war, is unacceptable. And as the quote holds true, it will leave the whole world blind. Blind to see the connections in our religion. I mean, look around. We're a beautiful congregation made up of people of so many beautiful different beliefs. But violence makes us blind to what we have in common, to what we share. And it makes us focus on what makes us different. I believe that no person should, nor should they be allowed, to hide behind their religion. I believe that if each person loved each other simply because they wanted to, and not because some higher power was going to cast them into eternal damnation if they didn't, that the world could be a beautiful place. I hear people tell stories about earning the love of God. They try to justify, you know, God doesn't love you just for eating crackers, you know? You have to earn God's love through your actions. I believe that if all people were truly good enough to earn their God or goddesses, or to earn nature, or to earn the love of each other, that we wouldn't need a heaven. We wouldn't need this promise of good things to come to us after we behave. Because life on earth could be heaven.
Thank you. My name is Don Ehat, and I have been active in this church for more than 10 years. Communication has been a reoccurring theme and responsibility in my life. And I'm supposed to be kind of an expert, which is vociferously denied by both my first and second wives. Still, I struggle with trying to resolve the promise and pain of being an introverted social isolate who paradoxically is committed to the necessity of community. My favorite exercise is walking in the rain with the sound of the rain on the umbrella reminding me of experiences in the outdoors from my youth. Fortunately, my business demanded I develop communication skills, or I would be hiding in the back row now. I have enjoyed several careers, worked with hundreds of organizations, and lived and visited in many parts of this country and the world. People who know me well make snide comments that persons like me need to keep moving before they figure out the range. One of the positive reasons I keep moving is my insatiable passion for learning. Not only is learning essential for us old duffers to delay Alzheimer's and dementia, but it makes life more meaningful. Personal truth has many faces and lives at many levels and changes with time. In 1962, I was running an evangelical mission in the Union of South Africa, which evolved into African Enterprise, one of the largest religious service organizations on the continent. While there, I learned that the Zulu villagers who lived in the shanty towns around Pietermaritzburg, the site of the program, and who provided the labor for the first service needs of the white community, would periodically revolt and riot. And the expression of their rage at the inequality of apartheid was mostly expressed by the destruction of their local school. The white community was often baffled by the choices of this target. After all, the school was free and prepared the Zulu for their services to their white masters. The Zulu sensed that the free school was not for learning or education, but rather poisoning their identity and self-worth. We in the U.S. have experienced that same mistrust by people of color toward the services supplied by the system. For example, I lived in Washington, D.C. for many years, and the riots in Washington, D.C. in 1971 resulted in vast physical destruction within much of the black community, and is still obvious 35 years later. Learning is the key to life's many rooms, to enter and appreciate what you see requires learning and personal initiative. The possibility of learning and opportunities for our initiative are the primary gifts of this church to us. There are very few places in life where we are offered an opportunity to explore and decide what is truth. This opportunity is offered within this environment that promises to honor our decisions. Most of the organizations that we have grown up in are based on the assumption that the truth lies at the top of the pyramid is decided in the boss's office, is determined by the teacher's tests, is determined by the coach's previous wins, is formed within our parents' birth situation or development. I believe that it is our search for truth that through that glimpses of the spirit are revealed. It comes back in the lives influenced. It is seen in the students saying that this is the first course in college in which they felt safe to speak. Or the email of a senior executive returning for your counsel, stimulated by the 20-year-old memory of shared cancer recovery walks around a nuclear construction site when she was an intern. Or the hope of a marketing executive for finding a new vision in spite of a fabulous career after 30 years of absence from your life. Or the soft silence in the room after sharing personal, spiritual searching in poetry or story. Empathic listening is the invitation to the spirit. It liberates the spirit in others and validates the spirit in us. In 1964, I wrote this poem, which frames what I mean. It's called Room. The room is full of people. The people are full of room. Room for hopes, past or passing, room for needs, alive yet undiscerned. The room is full of talking. The talking is full of room. Room for truth, to discover hiding. Room for understanding, to warm despair. The room is full of loneliness, and loneliness has worlds of room. Room for listening and quiet sharing. Room for words of patient caring. The room is full of whatever we bring.
My name is Lily Nieves, and I thank you for being here today to celebrate our 39th wedding anniversary to the same man. I come as one. I stand as 10,000. Dr. Maya Angelou. Dr. Maya Angelou made this quote, which paints my picture of this, I believe. Crayola white, a bedsheet, a potato, a cup of rice, a marshmallow cloud in the sky, a skull. British, German, Italian, Russian, Irish American. Crayola black, onyx stone, Kalamata olives, ebony, midnight new moon, petroleum, Kenyan, Brazilian, Torres Strait Islanders, Haitian, African American, Crayola brown, amber crystal, djembe drum, pecans, gravy, manure, Indian from India, Aboriginal Australian, Guyanese, Puerto Rican, Mexican American, Crayola red, Santa suit, a tomato, kidney beans, the planet Mars, blood, Caribs, Seminole, Sunni, Mayan, Native American, Crayola yellow, a smiley face, banana, the school bus, corn on the cob, pus, Korean, Chinese, Taiwanese, Vietnamese, Japanese American. I am not a Crayola crayon. My roots are embedded deep into the land and not in wax. The land that has been parceled out into nations. Please help me find Crayola on Gaia, on the world map. I come as one. I stand as 10,000. Do you see them? The Taínos, the Spaniards, the Africans, the Portuguese. They are here. Would you rather be a what or a who? Who's in your 10,000?
My name is Carol Barclay, and I'm sorry, my voice. And I am a Unitarian Universalist humanist, and I believe in love. I believe that what we have here on Earth is either our paradise or our hell. I believe that how we live and what we believe in creates who we are. I believe in living a life that promotes equity in women's rights, voting rights, LGBT rights, excuse me, I left off Q, LGBTQ rights, and transgender rights. And these are paramount in creating that paradise. The ethical treatment of animals and the environment promotes our belief in love, my belief in love, my belief in racial equality. And equality between men and women are very important aspects of my belief system. I strive to demonstrate my beliefs in how I interact in my world according to God as love. I believe that people, humans, have the power to guide their lives and come through great adversities by believing in this power. I know that this power enables me to act on my beliefs and keep, operative word, striving to help make my world and those worlds around me a paradise. Thank you.
Hello. My name is Gordon Woodworth III, and I have been a member here for going on 4 years. And I love it when people ask me what it is that I believe, because that's a very complicated question to me, and I have a complicated answer for you. First and foremost, I'm a Unitarian Universalist. I believe in the seven principles. I feel that those are the backbone of my personal philosophy and how I live and how I treat others. But theologically, I am a pagan. I am a member of the Cubs chapter here and have been so since for as long as I've been a Unitarian. I am a Welsh Druid. I am a member of the Order of Bards, Ovates, and Druids. I believe in the Welsh gods and worship them and serve them. But my philosophy on religion and on life is a little bit more complex than just, I believe in this religion and this is it. I am what you would call a monolatrist, which is a very complicated word, which means that I believe every god and goddess in existence that has ever been created by humanity is a different face of the same thing. Why do we depict gods and goddesses in different ways? Because we are different. We see things differently. We see ourselves in the divine and the divine in ourselves. And we depict them in ways that relate to us. Therefore, every single one of these beings that we believe in are equal and valid. They are just different as we are different. I know that some of the things I believe sound crazy to some people because I'm still a pagan. I believe in nature. I believe in fairies. I believe that everything around us is a part of the same universe and the same essence. It glows within everyone in this room. And it is beautiful and equal. Because of my beliefs as a pagan and as a Unitarian Universalist, my philosophy on life is that we are all equal, obviously. I believe that we all have a feminine and a masculine side, and I believe that we should be able to express both of those sides in order to be whole as a person. It takes two to tango, and there's two within each of us. Pagan people call that the god and the goddess, and they're both there. Ever-present. But these beliefs, unfortunately, I feel that many people still have not quite grasped. We see religion and we see borders. We see us versus them and man versus woman, black versus white, gay versus straight. And as a Unitarian Universalist, I believe in the equality of all people, and I believe in planting peace. I believe that it is our duty as Unitarian Universalists to be spreading peace and understanding. I believe that the lives of LGBTQIA people are important. I believe that women's lives are important. I believe that Black lives matter. I believe in caring for all people, and I believe that people should be able to love whoever they love, and as many people as they love. I believe that we should be caring for one another. And we should care for one another because we are all human beings. That includes medical care. And as a pagan, I believe that no part of care, or nature should be illegal. Therefore, I believe that marijuana should be legal and that we should care for our fellow human beings. I also believe that in many cases we should mind our own business and that some of these issues that I'm addressing are personal and should be respected because we all have our own inherent worth and dignity, and these are all parts of our identity and should never be disrespected. But most of all, I believe in hope. I believe in a brighter future. I believe in my generation foremost. When they finally grow up and decide to vote, I think that they will make many changes. And I have such a great hope for that. I place so much hope in that one day we will have true peace and true understanding, and everybody can marry whoever they wish to marry, regardless of how many people or gender that is. We can all respect each other along the lines of gender. We could all smoke a joint if we feel like it. We can allow trans people to live their lives without harassment. I believe that this will one day happen, and I believe that it is our duty to make this happen. Regardless of where you stand politically, I believe you should vote. And I believe that we should all live by the seven principles that we all claim to believe in. I look around at this congregation and I see a lot of very accepting and loving and wonderful people, and I love you all. We have created an environment that is beautiful around us, and I believe that it's wonderful. But I also believe that it should not be ours alone. I also look around and see a lot of empty chairs. There's a lot more people that need your love and understanding. There's a lot more people that have not yet had a taste of what it really is to be accepted. Live those seven principles. I'm not asking you to proselytize. I'm asking you to spread peace and love. And I want to end off with a short Druid prayer for peace. It goes like this. Deep within the still center of my being, may I find peace. Gently within the greater circle of humankind, may I radiate peace. So mote it be. And may the gods preserve the craft.
Good morning. My name is Alberita Johnson. Most people call me Albie. And before I get started, I want to say thank you now because I may forget to say thank you when I'm done. So thank you for listening to what I believe. Also, I recently had a loss in my family. Many of you came to the memorial service, and I wish to thank you. Some of you were unable to make it. I thank you for wanting to be there. And many sent wishes of love and light, and I appreciate all of that, and I thank you so very much for that support. It meant a great deal to me. Okay, so moving right along. I have been visiting UUCFM for about 4 or 5 years, and I finally joined last month. And so here I am standing up here trying not to be too nervous. I'm going to talk about what I believe, But I also write poetry and I do some spoken word. So it may sound a little different, but it is what I believe. So I'm going to talk about transition and transformation. And I believe in life that we are in a constant state of transition and transformation. Things do not remain the same all the time. We look at nature and we see the cycles, and they are absolutely magnificent. And I look at you, and I can see our cycles from infancy to adulthood, and we are also absolutely magnificent. And then it just starts all over again. And that's another thing that's absolutely magnificent. But the best thing that I want to talk about today is I'm alive. Right now, in this space, I am alive. I believe it, and I know it. I am alive. Now, my history has shaped me to be the woman that I am today. I believe my ancestors were very strong, very healthy people. Although many of them suffered degrading losses, their children, their religion, and yes, their dignity were taken away. And yet I believe I carry their strength, their fortitude of character, because they arrived and they survived. They made it across the crossing. They made it through slavery. They made it through Jim Crow. And we'll make it through whatever is going on now. So, just as waters flow and they settle and find their place, I believe I found my place. My place is who I am. I believe I am sassy. I hope it doesn't upset you because I'm not going to change. I believe I am magnificent, one of a kind, a precious jewel. I hope you believe the same for yourself. Do you see me? When you look in the mirror, do you see you? Do you see how magnificent you are? Do you see how wonderful you are? Do you remember how you got past things that you thought were going to take you out? You too, very precious. I've got high hopes to live long, to stay healthy, to live in peace. And yes, I believe that is a right. I believe some want to see me broken, head down, tears rolling, mournful cries, weak. But I disregard that because I know and I believe I am here for a purpose, that I am a woman of color surviving this America. I believe in crossing bridges and reconciliation, justice. I believe it, and I want it. I believe I can leave terror and fear behind me. I believe the divine, the gods, and the goddesses, they couldn't possibly be pleased with what we're doing to one another. But they're watching. I believe I carry the hopes and dreams and love for peace and freedom of not just the slaves, but of all those in captivity and in jails and burden, unjustifiably. I am here because I believe that we can look past our fears, missed understandings, and yes, our guilt. I believe we can remove those blinders, open our eyes, and truly see. Let's remove the self-imposed silence. Let's open our mouth. Speak against injustice. Do something. Let's unclog our ears from selective hearing and hear the real truth. Denial is not truth. Let's take a moment to exhale right now. Let it out. Release what is not profitable for us, for you, and let's inhale together. What is? I inhale love. What do you inhale? Forgiveness, peace, kindness, letting go of all baggage, reconciliation, justice. You find that when you inhale love. I believe I can do better. I believe you can do better. In fact, I believe we can all do better. Thank you.
Please rise in body or spirit for song number 360. And our lovely player, Abby, is going to play it through once and then we'll sing.